You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Frank Van Bree sitting in for Larry Connors, start of the second hour. And a great hour it's going to be. It's going to be such a great hour that I don't even know where we're going with this hour. It's going to be wonderful. So you've got to stay tight by your radio or by your phone or wherever you're streaming this program. The last hour was kind of fun. I mean, we talked about a lot of whys. We talked, you know, why this, why that, why this, and, you know, why is it all happening now, and what's different between the beginning of the year and now, and how come this, that, and the other. So, you know, and then we started to kind of dig in just a little bit. One thing. So in a minute, I'm going to have a woman from Kansas City. She's a process improvement consultant, because we've been talking about a lot of systemic racism and all these types of things, a lot of processes. And so we're going to get her take on a number of things. She's a fascinating individual, and I can't wait to have her on. But here's something that I wanted to kind of open with, and it's hard for me to just switch pitch and, you know, move all around, because I've just been through, you know, some good conversation on critical race theory, and, you know, with good people talking about certain things. And the one thing that comes to my mind that I really want to kind of get out there, see what you think about this. Do you think we've already established that I might be racist according to the critical race theory guidelines? But think about this for a second. Is this bad? Is this bad or is this good? You've got a pie, right? Nice little pie right there. Make it whatever kind of pie you want. Peach cobbler, anything, vanilla ice cream with it, pecan pie. You've got a pie. And you have a situation where people think that, I'll just say me because I'm a white guy. A white guy owns a bigger part of that pie through privilege. And I'm not going to say that I'm not privileged. My mom and dad used to tell me I was privileged all the time. I used to have this visual of me being on top of the planet and, you know, poor people from across the ocean. I don't know which kind of people, but they were poor people across the ocean that don't even have enough to eat. And you are privileged because you do have enough to eat. So I remember growing up knowing that I had it better off than others, which was wonderful. So back to this pie, I guess I have more of the pie, right? Well, then if I do, or if I'm up on the mountaintop, well, then I have to help others, right? If you're privileged, you have to use your privilege to help others, which is what I did and still do to this day. But I did it formally for 18 years through a nonprofit to help urban students from the public schools have a chance to grow and to take more of the pie. I mean, that's the idea. Take more of the pie. So the mission now, and I've been confronted a number of times with this, is, hey, Frank, step on down. Let's just use a mountain analogy for a second. Get down the mountain a little bit. Why don't you come down off the mountain? Because you've had long enough. You've been privileged. Time for you. Some people have said it's time for you to suffer. Time for you to get your comeuppance. Okay. Come down from the mountain. Get down here, and I, or they, are now going to go up the mountain. You come down. So I'm sitting here thinking, okay, I come down so that others can come up. Well, back to our pie. If it's a pie just sitting there on the table, okay, I get a little bit of it. I got to move over more to the center so that you can have more. But that means that the pie is static. That is static thinking. That is not abundance thinking. If you bring the people that have most of the pie or on the top of the mountain down just because, you're first of all, you're going to hurt everything that's going on. And second, how is the other group going to kind of come up? I don't know. Don't take me down so that you can come up. Let me show you what I've got and bring you up. And guess what? The pie gets bigger. It's not a static pie. It grows. All right, stay tuned. Process improvement consultant. Maybe she can do something with me. I'm kind of a mess. So we'll have Christina on in just a minute.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. New roof.
And if you don't love me now, you'll never love me again. Can't still be saying we'll never break each other. And if you don't love me now, you'll never love me again. Can't still be saying
this is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Was that Fleetwood Mac? Oh, see, I get them all, and that means we played a little Fleetwood Mac for our next guest. I am sure that she must have loved it. Welcome to the world, Christina. How are you?
I'm well, Frank. Thank you. And yes, of course, I was singing along with it.
You were?
How can you not?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I got to tell you, they are the best band on the planet.
I don't know if I would say that, but they are one of the best.
All right. Then who is the best?
In my opinion, I like so many of them, I can't just pick one.
Well, I'd agree.
But I would have to say Led Zeppelin. I mean,
well, okay. That's exactly who I was thinking. That is exactly who I was thinking. So they are. That is incredible stuff. And, well, we're not doing a music segment here, but boy, would I like to just launch in from 67 to 73. Who are the three most important, influential? Now, look at, I'm launching in. Who are the three most important? Actually, let's wait. Let's wait. There's a little break. There's a little break after this. Let's talk about some tougher stuff right now, process type stuff, because you are a process consultant, an improvement consultant, and you are with Christina Watson Enterprises, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do on a day-to-day basis, and how can you help us improve ourselves, with all that's going on in the world?
Well, it's not just, improving yourself. It's improving the world around you and your organization around you. And there's so many different facets of that where you can start. And one of the first places that I recommend is that you start with working with your leadership at whatever level it is, or in some cases, the government. levels on improving the processes within your organization.
So that means that when Larry Connors comes back, I have to have like a conversation with him about the process of how this station works and how his show works. And will you help me? We can beat him up together.
Well, it's not about beating up, because you shouldn't be blaming the individual. So, for example, let's say a safety incident happened somewhere, or somebody did something wrong and caused a lot of damage, either financially or personally or to the organization. When you start looking into that, about over 90% of the time, you're looking at the process or the technology that was the culprit and not the individual, because the individual just follows the process that has been dictated to them either by, you know, the standard operating procedure or the in-house knowledge that was transferred to them or what have you. It's more than likely not the individual's fault. It's the process.
But the process was put in place by individuals.
Yes, but if the process if part of the process is not to continuously improve that process, then, you know, that's where they fall down, and that's where most places fall down. They put these processes or these SOPs in place, and then they never do continuous improvement on it, and that is by getting feedback by those that actually use it to how can you make it better? How can you make it more efficient? How can you make it more automated? How can you, you know, so you look at all those different aspects of it, and you have to get the feedback of the users of that process.
Okay, so I actually have, here, let me lay this out. This just happened to a friend of mine. No, it actually did. She is in a particular process, and there are two elements in the client. This is a client, and she just was let go by this client, because she was there was the ownership. It was all C-suite stuff, but there was the owner. And then there was the owner was more concerned with operations. And then there's the sales side, you know, trying to drive growth, the business development side. And she was involved in trying to help the business development side, but operations kept getting in the way constantly. And the owner of the company was the one that was handling the operations. And so everybody would just dance very carefully around ownership, so that they could kind of just make it. Everybody was trying to make it. And she just kind of ultimately decided, you know what, this isn't a healthy place. So I'm telling you this because I'd like to get your take on this. This isn't a healthy place. And I am actually going to go talk to ownership. And I'm also going to go talk to the head of development and growth, and I'm going to lay out what I see the problems are, and it makes it very difficult for her, to do my job to actually help you grow. I'm caught.
Yeah.
I'm stuck here. And ownership nixed her, I guess, for bringing it up.
And one of the issues that happens with that, or you think about, is what is the culture like? And it sounds like it's not a very open culture, since they're not able to discuss the issues openly and take feedback openly and do those things transparently.
Lots of meetings, and she said. Lots of meetings.
There's little trust. Yeah.
So this could be a client for you, right? Well, probably not, because it doesn't look like ownership would wants to even be challenged. But would this be the type of thing that you get involved in?
Yeah, and it's not just addressing the processes that are in place or need to be in place. It's also addressing the underlying issue of the culture. So what is your culture, and what do you want your culture to be? Do you want your leaders to be more of, servant leaders? Do you want them to be coaching leaders? What type of leaders do you want them to be? Because we're seeing more and more of, you know, the command and control type of leadership, which really downs on the trust and the ability for people to do their jobs and what they're hired for, and it just causes all kinds of angst. So, again, addressing the culture piece, which I also do, is, you know, you go in and you interview, you get feedback for the leadership, you present that feedback to the leadership. Now it's up to the leadership to take that honest and open feedback and do something with it. But if the organization isn't ready for that open and honest feedback from their employees,
yeah,
there's nothing that I can really do.
Well, of course, this
it all falls back on them.
Right, right. This is, you know, I'm sitting in for Larry Connors, and Larry is, this is much more of a political, conservative political show, Ready on the Right, right? That's the tag.
Yeah.
And so let's bring it into the political realm for just a second. So we've got these systems that seemingly are playing out, and I don't know how you feel personally. I don't. But to me, this is what I've been saying, and I'd love to get your take on it. Everything seems to be changing since the last administration into this administration. You know, prices are going up. Gas or jobs were cut, and gas flow was cut, and gas prices are going up. That means food prices are going up. Lumber prices are going up. The government keeps paying people to sit home, ostensibly under the guise of, well, you might not feel so well yet and so safe, and so we don't want you to have to go out because of the coronavirus, you know, that sort of thing. You know, so we've got all that going. The borders are open. Let's bring in more people. Nobody's working and prices are high, but let's bring in more people that are below the poverty level, and let's put them all over the place in different cities and different states. All this stuff is going on. It's a process. There's no question about it. But if America were a company, it seems to me that that the current administration might be trying to certainly either bring it down or somehow radically change it. But I don't know how you change it without it ultimately imploding the way they're going about it. I don't know. What's your take?
The government is so big that you're right. No matter if you were to go in and wipe everything out, it's just going to, you know, things are going to be a mess. And who knows for how long? And could it get messier than it is now? Of course it can. Do we want it? I don't know. I think it depends on if they're actually, like, if the government is actually going to do something for us, people, we the people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, then I'm fine with it. But until, you know, my opinion, until we get rid of these career politicians who are all about themselves, and we start getting regular people in into government and start making some of these changes and start running the government as a business so that we have transparency and we know what's going on, and it's just going to be a mess. It's just going to continue to be a mess, and it doesn't matter who's running it, what
right.
party is in there or not. It's a complete mess. I thought maybe, you know, with Trump going in there, he might be able to start, you know, going down and saying, hey, you guys in this group here, you guys got to start mapping out your processes. You got to start leaning them out. We don't want to reduce people. We want to reduce time and effort. How do we do that?
I have a quick story for you.
I just went and renewed.
Go ahead.
I just renewed my car tabs. What a joke that is.
Wait, your what? Your car tabs?
My car tabs. Yeah, my license plate tabs.
Oh, tags.
My car.
I thought you said tabs.
Yeah,
okay, got it.
I did say tabs.
Oh, is that how you call? Oh, you did. Okay, that's lingo that I wasn't aware of. You've embarrassed me on national radio.
Oh, I doubt that. I'm pretty good at embarrassing myself and not others, so.
Well, let me tell you this story. This actually happened in the Pentagon. I was there, and I'm trying to see what can I say. I want to be careful. But let's just say a high up individual in the Pentagon said to me, Frank, we were I have to be honest, and this was right after Trump got in. We all were worried sick about our jobs. We had no idea. Here comes this Trump administration, and heads are going to roll. This is going to be like nothing we've ever experienced before. I just don't know. And then Trump puts, instead of a career politician, and who I happen to know pretty well, a national figure that actually said, I heard about this too from him. So I heard it from the guy himself, and then I heard it parroted back from this individual. This individual did not get the job. He knew the military complex inside and out. He'd been in politics forever. And the Trump administration comes in, and guess what? Somebody from the private sector comes in and starts to run the Defense Department. And they were scared to death. They couldn't believe what was going to go on. And lo and behold, 6 months later, I was with that individual, and he said, "This is amazing." The guy came in and he just kind of observed. He just watched. Mm-hmm. And he saw that we were duplicating all kinds of things. And he would say, "Hey, what if you just try to do that? Instead of that, just do that. And a little bit of that and a little bit of that." And that's all he would do. He would just keep coming back. And the next thing you know, 6 months later, we are in a whole different situation. And we ourselves have realized that we don't need all these people.
Yeah.
And he said, "So now there's some of us looking around for a job." All right, Christina, you're going to have to hold because we're going to come back. And I want you to talk about that a little bit, but then we're going to talk about music. All right?
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Love and happiness. But wait a minute, something going wrong. Someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Talking about how she can make it right. Yeah.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And we're back. Frank Van Bree sitting in for Larry Connors, who is off on assignment, but maybe back tomorrow, may not. But anyway, I asked Christina Watson to stay for this. This is a very short segment here before we have to go to another obscene profit motive timeout. But anything you wanted to say about my little Pentagon story before we launch into who were the best music influencers from 77 to or 67 68 to 73?
I was waiting for you to get that out. I'm like, come on.
I know.
You can do it.
I didn't take what's that thing that helps you focus? I forgot to take it today.
Oh yeah, that one thing. Yeah. I forgot that too. Yeah. Anyways, what he was doing going into the Pentagon is exactly what we need happening all over the government, and that they just go in and they start noticing these little things that can be changed. A lot of the duplication will improve that quality of the output of whatever you're thinking about or producing, whether it's documentation or a physical widget per se. But you got to have some of those people that go in there that aren't stuck in there, that haven't been there forever and know the process backwards, and because they can't step out of that box.
Very tough. Yeah.
Somebody with fresh eyes to go in there and take a look and say, "Well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? What about this?"
Well, that's not the way we've done
it. What's the value? Exactly. But that's the way we need to start moving, and there are a lot of companies that have been moving that way. It's just been a slow moving boat, I can get into all kinds of rants and raves about process improvement and how we can improve the government.
Are you Six Sigma?
All about.
Are you Six Sigma by chance?
I am a black belt.
Oh, you are. Oh my. Okay. Gosh, you're the exact right person. Have you heard of Kaizen? Do you know Kaizen?
Kaizen, yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. So lean is it's a passion for me to go in and help companies thrive when they're stuck, when they just don't know where else to do, or they're having quality issues and they don't know why. So, you know, going in and why am I spending so much money? I shouldn't be spending this much money.
Right.
Why am I not increasing my bottom line? And it all has to do with that going lean and process improvement.
I love it. Efficiency, 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 efficiency. All right. So
exactly.
we have just a short time left. So let's have a little fun for you. Who do you think one of the major influencers were in the music we have today, emanating from the late 60s into the early 70s? I've heard that there are three. I've debated this quite extensively, so I know of three. But what would you say? Is there any one person or band or group or whatever that really, really influenced many others?
Yeah, I don't really have an opinion on that, because I love listening to music. I don't care what genre it is, because I love all kinds of music. But who were the people that were, you know, Zeppelin is one of them, and they're my favorite. I grew up on them, listening to them driving around in the back roads of, I'm from Minnesota, so on the back roads of Minnesota.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Every once in a while it comes out, so.
Well, all right. So here are the three, as depicted by some pretty intense individuals who know a lot about music. One would be the Beatles.
Of course,
the Beatles.
I would agree.
Another that actually would have a lot of influence for Led Zeppelin. Well, the Beatles had influence on Zeppelin, also Bob Dylan.
You know, yeah, he's on my list too, and I have several of his albums on my iTunes.
Who do you think the last one is? It's a group.
Oh my!
It's three. It's three people.
Oh my God! You put me on the spot here.
Staying alive. The Bee Gees. The Bee Gees wrote 900 songs. 900. Anyway, thank you, Christina. Thank you for being on with me. I appreciate it. You take care.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable. But we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around another 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed. And at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for three generations, protecting homes and businesses. Three generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER. Or you can check their website, rottler.com. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And we're back. Frank Van Brie sitting in for Larry. Larry Connors. And wow, what an interesting hour it's been. I at this time want to just kind of sit back and take a little assessment of what is going on in the world. And so I've been looking at several things online and getting a feel for what's going on out there. And I see that Biden has finally called Netanyahu to have a discussion and urge significant de-escalation. He's asked to move toward a path of a ceasefire, according to the White House. Now, that's interesting because Hamas, at the same time, their officials have indicated publicly they're going to keep up their rocket barrages into Israel as long as Israel continues its airstrikes, said Hamas top leader Ismail Haniya, who is based abroad. Well, all right, this is one of these chicken and egg things, isn't it? I mean, who fired first? So it's it's like, have you ever watched football, the NFL, let's say, and one guy just decks the other guy. Then that guy gets up and hits the guy who decked him, and guess who gets the penalty? The second guy. Happens all the time. Officials didn't see the first. But in this case, we know who the first aggressor was. It's Palestine. So they keep hammering these rockets over there. And Israel, somehow, this is one thing I never understand. How come Israel is always the one that has to kind of back off? Why is that? Why are we the one? I mean, it's because they, I don't know, they're more together and they feel like, you know, well, we've got more privilege, so we should be the one. I don't know. Remember when they took, you know, the Sinai Peninsula and they took the Gaza Strip and they took a number of different places, the West Bank. It was because all of the people around Israel were pounding Israel on their borders. So they just went ahead and took all the territories. And they said, all right, once they did that, they said, all right, now, will you guys please stop? Will you stop? You can have the territories back, but we got to have a peace accord here. And the answer was, from the Arab side, no way. No way. So it's fascinating to me. And it seems to me that where this is all going, or what's at the base of it all, is we just don't like you and we want to eliminate you. I do not get that feeling from Israel. I do not. I think Israel would broker a peace that is makes sense. You know, we're not going to uproot all our people and do all this stuff, but there are peaceful solutions, and they were actually living in some kind of peace through the Trump administration. This was not happening. And I thought the Trump administration was kind of, I thought that was interesting the way they went about it and got Morocco involved and Bahrain and some of the other countries that you normally don't think of in this Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And they were starting to develop a method to, you know, they were recognizing Israel. Trade opened up with those countries. The ones you got to nullify, it seems to me, is Iran. And the folks in Gaza, Hamas, that continue. I mean, even they're even creating an issue for the Palestinian Authority in the Gaza Strip. So Hamas has two enemies, their own people that they hide behind, and then Israel. So, you know, here we've got Biden telling Netanyahu, hey, you got to stop. And I remember that growing up. Israel's always the one that's got to stop. But as I said the other day, it seemed like Netanyahu was really talking tough and saying, hey, we are going to take these guys out. And I don't know how you do that. I just don't know how you do that, because if you pound on them too much, all it does is create additional hatred. But the question is there going to be hatred no matter what? Is there literally anything you can do? Or is the hatred just too deep? And unless one eliminates the other, I don't know, it seems like we need a miracle. You know, what do some people say? Well, we just have to pray. We just have to pray. I mean, it's out of our hands. It is not working in the human realm. Maybe God himself can help in this scenario. I don't know. But good luck, Mr. Biden, Mr. Netanyahu. I hope you can figure something out. I know Egypt has gotten involved too, and they're trying to work hard to broker a halt to the fighting. But that's always what happens. It's just, you know, all right, settle down. Let's settle down. And then it breaks out again because nothing's ever truly been dealt with. And that's the one thing we'll never know, I guess. But the one thing that the Trump administration was doing was approaching it a little bit differently. And I thought, wow, this could be, I mean, that could be genius. That could be absolutely genius. And then we weren't dependent on that area, all the, you know, the area for gas and oil. We had become self or autonomous in our need. Now, of course, when you shut down a pipeline and you say, you know, we're not going to do this anymore. Well, then now you got to go back and you got to go get the gas and oil. Now we're beholden again to the Middle East for gas and oil, which keeps us in that conflict. You know, it's what got us in there anyway, because my God, we need it. We need it to survive. And so it just, you know, the thing keeps perpetuating. It keeps going. I should have asked Christina Watson, you know, that's a process improvement. I wonder, Christina, how would you handle the Palestine-Israel conflict? Where would you begin? That would be kind of neat. I hope it's okay. I know this is a political show, but I like every once in a while to kind of try to mix it up, but also keep on some kind of a theme. I'm just kind of a theme guy. So anyway, here, I'm going to try to mix it up with this. I have a stack of stuff. I don't have a cigar, but I have a stack of stuff. This one says the best day of the week to take a mental health day off work. This actually would have been Christina territory. Many of us are completely exhausted right now. We are. I am. I don't know about you. And you know what? I think COVID has a lot to do with that. One of the manifestations of having had COVID, which I did, I was down for almost 2 weeks. I'm just tired all the time. It did something. It took something out of my body. So nearly half of working Americans report feeling mentally and physically drained at the end of the workday. And well, I don't even make it that far. And I fell asleep. Quentin looked up. I did get him to look up at that moment for that moment. And about one in three remote employees report feeling tired or having little energy, according to a March survey of over 570. That's a big enough sample size. 570 people. To be clear, a 24-hour break is not going to fix all of your work-related stress, but it can help. So we're trying to get to this. What day of the week? So Lisa Austin is a licensed psychologist who focuses on helping professionals manage their career. She said a mental health day can provide some relief, a greater ability to emotionally regulate, or a greater sense of perspective. Actually, Quentin, this would be good for us. We should have a mental health day tomorrow, shouldn't we? We should just take off. I think we should. I think it'd be good. It would be good. Yeah, it's never going to erase all the things going on, but it's meant to give you a tiny boost, a little tiny breather, she says. You should feel some semblance of difference. So which day is the best day of the week to take off for mental health? Well, when you're on the brink of burnout, any day. Any day, it doesn't matter. It can feel restorative. But you have a choice. Here's how to time it, according to the experts. Don't be tempted by a Wednesday. One executive coach says, don't do it in the middle of the week. It's be harder to disengage and then get back into it. I agree with that. If you take off in the middle of the week, you're like, oh, it's almost like you didn't, because you know. That's why she recommends bookending the week. Take your mental health day either at the beginning or the end of the week so that it becomes an extension of your weekend. All right. Well, that makes sense to me. You can then walk in on Tuesday and you'll feel refreshed and even a little bit more focused. And everybody says, where were you Monday? And then you don't feel refreshed and focused anymore. But isn't that interesting? Okay. So do a Monday, do a Friday. I think, you know what, that just seems to be natural anyway. I think most people do that. So, okay, what else are we going to talk about? I'm getting the sign, so it's not going to last too much longer here, but I'll tell you what. The way I may want to end this show is kind of how I began it. I asked all those why questions, and you know, and I said, well, the government, the current administration is doing a lot of things that answers the why. They're doing a lot of stuff. So when I come back, let's wrap up that way, and then Quentin and I are going to go off and have a great weekend from Wednesday on. Ready on the right, Larry Connors.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Phil Collins. The left-handed drummer. Do you know he was a left-handed drummer? Oh, yeah. So he wouldn't play the drums all the time for Genesis. He'd just play them sometimes. Now, he did do that one. But what they had to do for Genesis, there were always two drum kits on the stage, because he has his regular drummer, but then he would do it, and he's left-handed, so all the drums go the opposite way. So anyway, that's a little trivia there for you. I do, you know, I don't want to promote anything. I do a music show, so that's why I like to talk about music, but I try not to let it drip into this broadcast too much. You know what? Jonathan Butcher, let's go back to him for a second, from the Heritage Foundation, when he was on with us about critical race theory. He said one of the things, the way you have to make this work and the way you've got to get it to hold, is you have to plan the same outcome for everybody. And I heard Kamala Harris say this once. She said, it's no fair if you start on third base and I have to start on first base. It's just no fair. So we both have to come back around. We have to both start at home plate, and we both have to hit our home runs or end up at home plate or second base or wherever the final destination is together. So everybody is the same. And that's the idea. That's the idea. The guy on third is that dude. It's like coming down from the mountain when I was talking about that earlier. Or give up some of the pie. You can't be on third base. You know, that's privilege. You need to come back around here to first. We at least have to start in the same place. So I guess that's kind of the thing. And to get that to happen, you know, God has put he's given everybody different skill sets. And some people, you know, I used to say this with to the kids at school. I said, "Hey, you know what? Quit judging the other, you know, your classmates. Stop it." I said, "You know, some of you are a big gallon jug. You got a lot of capacity. God has given you a lot." I didn't usually say God because I was in the public school, although they would talk about God quite a bit. It was kind of cool. But I would say you have been given a lot of capacity. You have a whole gallon there. And then I'd throw a coffee cup up, and I'd say, you know, and here, this person here has capacity, a coffee cup size. And then I did find once, believe it or not, on the desk of a teacher, because we were in the after school day part, a thimble. And I put the thimble up and I said, "Hey, you have capacity. Some of you might have the capacity of this thimble. Is the thimble any less than the gallon?" No, the thimble actually could be greater than the gallon, depending on the task. You know, they're just different. They're just different. But each has capacity. So I would ask them, if the thimble was full and the gallon was only a fifth of the way full, who is achieving their capacity? Which one do you want? A lot of hands go up and they go, "Well, I want the gallon because it's got a lot more capacity that it could have. And the thimble, look at it." Well, I said, think about this, though, guys. That thimble is at capacity. It is doing everything it possibly can for its purpose. for the skills that it has, the gifts that it's been given. The thimble, ooh, I just banged on the mic. The thimble is, in this case, is the one. I said, I want you guys, quit judging each other. You all have different skill sets and you all have different opportunities. But why can't every one of you work to be full? Work to be full. That's where you want. That's what you want. You want to be at capacity. So how did I get off on that? But the I guess the point is what Jonathan Butcher was saying is, hey, everybody's got to be the same. The milk jug, the thimble has to be like the milk jug. And the coffee cup has to be like the thimble and the milk jug. So I look at this and I say, okay, how is this going to occur? Well, there's one way that this coercion, if that's what you can call it, would work. And it would be a state-run media. The media has to be complicit in it because that's where everybody gets their information. And I've heard Larry on this show not call it mainstream media. I hear him call it state-run media. Fascinating. Interesting. Very interesting point. And yes, that is required. State-run media. Also, if I may say it, guns. Guns are very important as well because you have to keep people in place. So you have coercion, as Jonathan Butcher put it, to make socialism, communism, Marxism work. There has to be guns and media. And those are two things that I see that are, trying to get the guns out of our hands. And I don't know. We aren't that far yet. So thank goodness. But I just have these little feelings of that. And I hope they don't ever take hold. So that's it for today. I can't believe that the second hour is over. Quentin, thank you. As always, you're awesome. You really are. I appreciate it. And we will be back tomorrow, same time, same channel, 1 o'clock Central. And thank you, Larry Connors. And as he always says, God bless everyone. He just says something like that. But God bless.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.